Hey everyone, welcome back to my Blacadian podcast. I wanted to talk about tone policing. I spend a great deal of my time as a Black woman thinking about my tone. And, you know, I was really sort of irritated with myself because I realized I was sort of like tone policing myself. And I was like, what? So, yeah, let's talk about it. So tone policing can happen in many different circumstances, and situations. And, you know, usually it's, like around the power dynamic. So someone with like privilege and you're like in a discussion with them and they make the argument and the focus about your tone, you know, how you're speaking to them rather than about the issue itself, no matter what like points you're making, whatever the case may be. So they'll focus on that and they'll sort of be like, oh my goodness, I feel so, you know, threatened or, you know, offended by the way you're telling me what you're telling me. So that becomes the focus of the thing. And so obviously I'm talking about it in the context of racism and that dynamic. And so, oftentimes when, a Black person, and specifically, I wanted to focus on Black women, are, you know, discussing an issue and, you know, they're trying to get a point across, oftentimes the focus becomes on their tone. And, you know, people that can be passionate and it'll, for Black women, people will read it as aggressive or angry. And it's something that, for me, in the work that I do as, you know, an educator on racism and oppression, I am very, very conscious of my tone and how I deliver the information. And I think I remember, I discussed, you know, years ago, just talking with one of my coworkers and now friend, just about, you know, we were doing, our, you know, anti-oppression work. And, you know, he was just commenting on like, you know, how I was so more patient than him, but just so, careful about how I was putting my words together and sort of, you know, editing our work. And I was like, oh yeah, well maybe we should, you know, phrase it in this way. And he was like, wow, you know, like he was just so impressed with how I was phrasing things, because I, you know, was, my focus was entirely about how people are going to receive this information when it's coming out of my mouth, because I know that the tone has to be such that you're going to have to be very hard pressed and, you know, other people in the room will not agree with you if they say that I was coming off as, you know, overly aggressive, you know, and these kinds of things. And I remember just thinking about that, how I have to sort of tone police myself, or I have been doing that in these situations, because I am aware that even the smidgen of like passion coming from me will be interpreted as being aggressive, and then everything else will be lost and the focus will be on that. And so I sort of was having like a preventative measure to sort of make sure that, you know, my tone was always very neutral and, you know, even though we're not talking about very neutral issues, these are issues that anybody should be passionate about. You should be speaking with passion about these issues. Yet I had to sort of come at it from this weird, unnatural position of, you know, taking out the very human emotions that come along with discussing, you know, anti-oppression discrimination work and, you know, our histories. And so I would have to be sort of very just neutral about it, where everyone else, you know, when they're going through this, they can have such strong emotions and reactions to it, and sort of having to guide them through it. Of course, that's my, you know, job as well, to sort of facilitate these conversations and go through it. But it was just one of those things that I noticed I was sort of self-correcting and policing myself to make sure that how things were framed were going to be received in a way, because of my identity, in a way that would be well received. And I was, you know, as I've gotten more comfortable in my role and, you know, in this work of anti-oppression work, I've realized that that's something that I might have to, I have been experimenting with, dialing back a little bit. And so, you know, just by addressing my identity up front, like, you know, just coming out and saying, you know, like, as a Black woman, you know, these are some things, these are, like, I'm in my feels, and just sort of, you know, owning that upright, outright, and just sort of, and it's been, you know, more well received than I thought, because, you know, in my personal life, I'm a passionate person. I, you know, I have reactions to things when I see, you know, racism and oppression and, you know, genocide and all these things happening in the world around me. I have very strong reactions to it, and as does everyone, you know. And, you know, how I express that and talk about that, you know, the very last thing I should be worried about is my tone. And I think that that's something that I'm looking forward to sort of growing into. So that's not to say that it's never happened to me where, you know, I've been extremely careful about how I was having conversations, and not just in, you know, a professional setting, but in a personal setting, you know, where I've been making some sort of point around racism, and someone, you know, was very quick to point out that they felt very sort of offended and, you know, attacked by something that I said. And, you know, just knowing the person and the situation. So I was talking about, you know, anti-Black racism, and this was, you know, a person that, frankly, I know hasn't given racism or, you know, the Black experience any kind of thought. And so, you know, so I, just for context, going in there. And so, of course, you know, this isn't my first day. So I was like, you know, of course, very apologetic. And I say apologetic, but I did not apologize, because I'm not about to apologize for your tone policing. But, you know, I just started asking questions. And it's something that I Again, this was like a personal setting, not professional. You know, I feel like professionally, I would have probably, well, tried to be a little kinder, but probably the same tactic. I don't think I can. I'm sorry. I'm saying, look, I can't even get it out now. I'm like choking on it. I don't think I could apologize. You know, but I was just, you know, asking questions, and it's something that I love doing. And I, you know, if you ever, as a black woman, find yourself in this situation, take a breath and start asking questions. And so, you know, it was basically you about, you know, f I basically wanted to turn it back to the facts that I was making, you know, the straight facts that I was just laying out there that they couldn't handle. And so I was just like, you know, like what, you know, what exactly did I say? You know, do you want to focus on that a little bit more? Like, tell me exactly, you know, how you're feeling about the what I was saying. And it just basically dissolved into them, you know, humming and hawing and tripping over the words, because basically they couldn't pinpoint anything that I was saying. It was, you know, they didn't want to say it's how you were saying it. They didn't want to, frankly, just admit that me just speaking as a black person was just making them uncomfortable. And so, you know, I was just like, well, you know, I'm always, you know, happy to chat with you and discuss it further. But, you know, I was like, but those are things that did happen. So why don't you know, sit with that? And you know, I think I, you know, talked about, you know, everyone's on this journey, and sort of was just like, your baby steps. You need to take some baby steps. So I think it's just the the reality of having this history, having this, you know, present itself. It's just that whenever a black woman, a person of, you know, racialized person is talking about racism and their experience, there's always going to be someone that thinks that they have the right to immediately feel offended by what they're saying, simply because they are saying it. The thing that really gets me is that the people that are going to be so worried about my tone will never worry about their own. Like, they can be as loud as they want to be. They can, you know, be as aggressive as they want to be. They can swear as much as they want to. You know, even their body language, it will be super, super aggressive. And they'll never have to worry about, you know, they'll just, you know, really say that they really want to get their point across. And that's the thing that really, bugs, if you would. And so, you know, when I have to be so conscious of my tone, and that someone can just have that freedom of thought, that, you know, not even have to put that into the equation of having to how they're gonna express themselves, is just one of the many frustrating consequences of racism, and specifically anti-black racism. So let me know if you guys have been ever, someone has, you know, sort of corrected your tone, specifically as a black woman, just sort of, you know, when you were doing your best to work at trying to be calm and, you know, getting your point across, but then someone just completely misread you as being aggressive and you knew that it was entirely due to race. You know, let me know how you dealt with that situation and, you know, how you reacted, because, you know, going forward, as I said, no, I am not going to watch my tone. I said what I said, and I said it how I said it. You know, that's going to be my new policy. So I'll let you know how that works out. I'll let you know how that works out for me. As always, thank you so much for listening. It's always a pleasure to talk these things out. So I will talk to you next time.